This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Tree Lin and guest host today, Lau Chap on. And you know what? We've been spending the entirety of the 6 o'clock hour talking about streamless schools in 2020. After this, we'll be speaking to a former teacher and the Secretary General of the NUTP to hear the educator's perspective on this game-changing policy. And as always, call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018 789 8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. All this is coming your way on the evening edition.
BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:05 in the evening with Lin and Chuck, and we've been talking about streamless schools in 2020. Because that is something that might happen. I never thought I'd see the day, but here we are. So we've been asking you for your thoughts, whether or not you wish that you were a 16-year-old on the cusp of making your own choices. Call us and let us know. 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018 789 8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
So we have a lot more comments actually on social media. We have Anwar Ruslan, who says, by not streaming, you'll be burdening the teacher, and some students will try to take subjects that they just can't cope with. For example, can a student that gets an E in math take physics? It's utter nonsense. It will also cause chaos in schools as mixed streams in the same class with various levels of understanding in the subject matter.
I think there are a couple of things to unpack there. So a lot of it, I mean, we're not assuming that people aren't going to try to be working to their own capacity and to their own, aptitude, right? So I think it's also about knowing your own aptitude, which is where the, hopefully, guidance counselors will come in, aptitude tests will come in, you'll have all these different things. But having said that, you might find, for example, certain elements of math very challenging and then other elements of physics very intriguing. And that might make you go back and work on your math in order to do, I know that it sounds a little dreamy, but I think there is that possibility.
Like balancing it out. Like, I think Rosie mentioned it just now as well, that parents need to get to know their children better so they can encourage them in the right things and maybe even slightly discourage them in things that are not realistic.
Yeah. Then Munif Malik says, Santiago Calatrava, a painter, sculptor, and engineer. And oh, he also happens to be one of the best architects in the world. Don't limit potential by killing possibilities. Down with separate streams.
Wow, that guy is a painter, sculptor, and engineer, and an architect?
Well, you know, that's the thing, right? Like, quite a few people have been pointing out that there is nothing wrong with the merging of different talents, right? Like the idea that you're either a left brain person or a right brain person, it's kind of outdated.
It is. So you were talking earlier about the duality of it, right? Like science stream, art stream. And now all of a sudden you have all these other various combinations. So you can do like, you know, math and economics, you know, or art and science. Like, you know, in Singapore they have an art science museum. So that's
true.
A perfect balance of arts and science.
Yeah, and as we heard from our caller earlier, you can be somebody who did all of the science stream and really dearly love history.
Yeah.
All those permutations are possible. You could also be Elin, who says, I wasn't given a chance to choose which stream because the students who did well in Form 3 just went straight into the science accounts stream. I dropped accounts in Form 5, took the art paper instead. My form teacher wrote this on my leaving cert. A brilliant art student stuck in the science stream.
Wow. I wish my teacher said that at some point in time. Because eventually, I mean, personally for me, I also switched to a lot of art stream subjects. I took up economics and stuff like that, which I feel that, you know, is actually quite a useful subject. And I think that this, moving forward, offers a lot of opportunity for kids coming up these days. You lucky buggers, you actually get to choose.
We also have this message here from Dr. Jagjit, who says, it's a great idea, but are we ready? These options apply to an urbanized society. So the first thing is, how confident are us urbanized parents with the public education system? Very, very low. I think this definitely should be the way to go. But can the ministry please focus more on improving the quality of teachers and also schools before venturing into these highly developed education ideas? It's down to the basics. If you can't even crawl, how are you going to run? That's how I see it. Plus, what are they going to do when all the students choose maths and science subjects as opposed to history and literature? Then it's back to streaming again.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot more to unpack here with regards to this policy. I think Dr. Masli basically just said, we're going to do it. And then everyone needs to ask exactly how. because you were speaking earlier about, like, we have counselors, you know, to advise students on what subjects to take, but that might not be as practical if you move out into more rural estates. So that's why he was suggesting something like maybe an AI quiz that people can take online. But what about places that don't have internet connection? I mean, there's still a lot of questions here.
Plus all the sorting hat jokes that have already been made.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Fair. And then we, lastly, just to close off, we'll come back to read messages, but we also do have a guest on the line with us. But we have, I think, a couple of thoughts. Let me look for them. One from Kuzi Khaled, who says, I took the science stream in SPM, took economics and management science and matriculation, graduated with a bachelor in economics, previously worked as an admin and account exec, now working as a safety and health officer. Learning is a never-ending process.
I absolutely agree with that. I feel like every day that we should be learning something, and it's not just limited to what you do in school. And a lot of the things that we asked Rosie just now as well, like what kind of subjects would you add to the curriculum, you know? And at the end of the day, school's only responsible for half your learning. I'm sure the parents play a part. Your own consumption of what you watch, like cat videos, probably not as educational as something like BFM.
I wouldn't miss cat videos. It's important to learn how cats behave, man. You know, you need to know. They're going to be our overlords. We are going to be speaking after this with Datuk Lok Yim Ping, who is the former Secretary General of the National Union of the Teaching Profession. Just to hear, we were lucky enough to hear from Vani earlier, who's actually a teacher, but we also wanted to speak to other educationists to just find out, where are we right now? How do they feel? Of course, you can keep those thoughts coming. Call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Brainy, fancy material. BFM 89.9.
It's 7:12 in the evening. You're with Lynn and Chuck on the Evening Edition, and we've been talking about going streamless, at least for our schools, in 2020. And we've been kind of mulling over the impact on the student, but now we want to talk about the teachers a little bit. So on the line with us is Datuk Lok Yim Ping, who is the former Secretary General of the NUTP, or the National Union of the Teaching Profession. Datuk Lok is also currently a Suhakam Commissioner. Firstly, thank you so much for joining us on the show this evening.
So Datuk, in your opinion, is there a value of having a student learn subjects they don't necessarily enjoy?
Yeah, that's the problem. Some of the subjects the children don't enjoy, is it? But that's why I'm saying that you need career. I can still come back to the word career counselling lah. So at least every individual child is given the opportunity, because sometimes parents are not, may not be able to counsel the children depending on the experiences that the parents have, the family members have. So you need counselling. You need someone who have knowledge to advise the child, you know, to make a decision at times, you see. They always follow friends sometimes. The friends follow, oh, I will take this subject, I should follow because I have friends there, I will follow. But at the end, later on, they found out that, oh, this is not something I wanted. But in a way, it's also important also sometimes to give freedom for them to choose, because sometimes in the future, we cannot say that whatever you study, you guarantee that you will get a job. But more on what I'm really saying, that some people can create their own opportunity, can create their own jobs, you know, in the future. That part, that also important. But whatever you need to create in the future, create the opportunity, create jobs opportunity, you still need very strong basic knowledge like mathematics, like science, like those knowledgeable subjects, you know, basic skills that you need. And of course, in the future also, you've got to look at, with all digitalization, people become very individualistic. So we need people who must have some human values there, and also must have core values like integrity, transparency. These are something that they got to learn along the way, not by choosing certain subjects they like just because they're interested, that they want to avoid certain subjects. I think that is something that I think that need to be explained to the children.
Right. And before we move on, I guess, I just wanted to know, what was your actual, you know, when you first saw it, what was your initial reaction to the announcement?
The minute I read about the announcement by the YB Minister of Education, so, of course, some concern, but I also support. You know why I support? Because high time for us not always thinking of streaming the children, you know, to certain subjects given. I mean, now these things are changing. The world is changing. In the coming future, the needs are so different, you know. So skills are so different. Children cannot be learning the same subject for 60, 70 years the same subject again. So there will be new subjects. So there should be flexibility there. I use the word flexibility and right to make a decision of what subjects they want to study. So I am in support of whatever the minister has mentioned. But however, I have some concern. My concern is that based on our experience when I was in the teaching profession, the former Ministry of Education also, they have did some implement certain policies. Like example, the children given the choice, you don't have to choose subject from the science stream. You can also go for art subject. Or even a science stream, you don't have to take all those very challenging subjects like additional maths. You don't have to take like physics, chemistry. You have your choice of taking like biology, all those things you just can avoid. But in years to come, that means we are worried because if more children go for certain easier subjects, then we need some high-skilled people like engineers, scientists, which is what we are experiencing now based on the statistic by the Ministry of Human Resources that we see that we need a lot of all these people where we are lacking off. Why are we lacking on? Because we have used this type of policy allowing the children to choose their choices, easy subjects they want. I propose here that we need our concern is that there should be expertise, career counseling to counsel the children, to advise the children to select the right subjects. They have to think of in the future, what really needs the skill they need in the future. We do not want the children to study like subjects after even they leave the university, those subjects not relevant to the job needed, you know, in the market. So I think this is important to look at it. So it's not so much of whether streaming or not. It's the children should be able to make right decision for their career path. I think we need to add more advance in our career path counselling. I think that is very important.
Right. And just to compare the two, what were the pros and cons of streaming students and were there benefits that came from that?
Yeah, there is some kind of goodness in it also when you stream the children last time. Because so that if you learn those very challenging subjects, because you need specific teachers to teach them. Because in the same time, they all will be in the same group. So the same group will have there will be more equal, more opportunities for them to interact, exchange of ideas, come up program activity is some much more easier if you have picked different diversified the subject so much so that so it needs more human resources to deal with the matter. Like that's all only. But I think with now the advancement of technology, I think that will not be a hindrance to it. It is see that how we manage it, how we strategize the things so we optimum the human resources we have so that we ensure that the children will get the best quality education that they needed for their future undertaking.
And could you elaborate a bit more on, you know, this notion of capacity when it comes to the schools? Because how would it work in the sense of whether or not you would need, say, you know, a certain number of students in order to proceed with teaching a subject? Do we have the capacity for that right now?
But I think there should be, I should put it this way, still we need to encourage certain number of children taking some science subjects, some technical subjects, some vocational subjects, and also some art subjects. I think you should have that. You cannot be totally only certain subjects. There are so many children will be taking those subjects and other subjects, nobody responding. You cannot have that also. You see, now science and technology, we are talking about artificial intelligence. We are talking about digital world. All these are related to calculation, mathematics, science. So if the children feel that these subjects are very challenging, then we have to find ways to make it easier for them to understand it. So they will take these subjects for the future. There is a need for it, for us to advance, for us to be more developed. So this is the situation I look at. Of course, you have to train more teachers on that, more teachers. Knowledge comes from time to time. You cannot be 10 years. You have been trained as a teacher 10 years. You think your knowledge after 10 years is enough, not enough. Knowledge is, you have to learn the knowledge every day and from time to time. That is part of the capacity building for the teachers and also for the children got to be exposed. But I think with the advancement of technology and internet, as you say that nowadays you can even go online and the children can have video conferencing or you can learn through that way.
Right. So, okay, before you go, Dato, any final thoughts on finding a balance between encouraging passion on one hand and developing well-rounded graduates on the other?
Passion became one part of your hobby also. So they can develop in such a way, there is a need for certain skills, a certain job or profession. Maybe certain groups can go for that. At the same time, they can balance up and having a passion developed through hobbies. So in a situation where in the future they think that passion is one of it, then they make them earn a better living, then that time they can have their choice. But I'm only thinking that way. Like, I don't know what the student will go to think, you see. But I do feel that I still come back to the answer of they need career counselling. So they need not only career counselling, but they also need like parents, teachers, friends who knows about how to go about advising the children, guiding them, so that at least, you know, this is for the future of the country. You cannot be having a country that we need engineers, we don't have engineers, we have to import. I always believe that we have the capability of doing it, but we need to find the right approach, right strategy to ensure that our children are able to acquire all this for the coming future, for the sake of Malaysia. I strongly believe that Ministry of Education must lead it and push forward with all these plans and must have someone to monitor all this. You need to monitor and check balance with it. Sometimes the thing goes very, very well, but to certain level, because of implementation, nobody monitor, and because of financial constraint, capacity, you know, it dilutes down to the grassroots level, things become a little bit run out of control. So it's not as simple of just planning and proposing. You know, you have to make sure the whole entire organization is moving towards that direction. That is important. We need high-skilled labors. We need people with high skill to have better income, better quality living, you know. You cannot just keep on saying minimum wage, minimum wage. Minimum wage is one way to overcome the whatever problem we have now. But in the coming future, we need people with high skill to get better pay, so the better investor will come in to invest in Malaysia for quality workers, quality products. We will have a better future.
Datuk Loh, thank you so much for speaking with us today. That was Datuk Loh Yin Ping, former Secretary General of the National Union of the Teaching Profession, just offering another perspective on the notion of not having streams in schools anymore. We've been asking you for your thoughts. You can keep them coming. WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Yep, so you guys haven't been shy about your thoughts. Pong Chi Kwang actually replied to me about a question that I asked Rosie just now, which was what subjects would she intro into the curriculum. And he says mindfulness, stress, anger, and fear management. Wow. Te Su Ying also gave a suggestion, which is financial literacy that should be introduced in schools. As an adult, she feels that this is one of the essential foundations in life that was missing from school. I totally agree with that.
Yeah, I think that there's been a big push to introduce financial literacy, and it's important because I do think that a lot of our money habits come from our parents, right? Like, they are our only guides more often than not as to how it is, how we feel about money, how we spend money, how we think about money. And I'm not saying that your parents aren't a good way to go about this, but I think having a grounding on it would also help overall.
I think in my later years, I kind of appreciated what meager allowance I got in high school, which my parents taught me a lot of frugality. And also, like, you know, I think those lessons are important when you're young, so they carry forward when you're old.
That point about mindfulness and all that, I think it also speaks to what Rosie said earlier, which was talking about emotional regulation and how that's a really important thing. I do agree with that. I think that we underplay the importance of it more often than not. This idea of whether we take it for granted that it's something that should happen at home. You know, home is where you learn how to regulate your emotions. Home is where you learn things like kindness. But I think carrying it through into schools, not a bad idea.
Yeah, if we had teachers like Vani, I think it would be quite automatic, man.
Yeah, and it's in line with what the education minister has been talking about of wanting to introduce, what was it? I think kindness. He has actually been talking about introducing kindness into schools. So it is very much in line with that. It sounds vague, but I think that you could actually syllabus it it, and it would make sense.
There's a Japanese school that actually makes the students clean up after themselves after everything. So stuff like that, simple stuff like that, could be really effective.
Of course, you can keep those thoughts coming. Call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.